Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hechner, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
Holiday week. I am good. Not that the holiday means so much to me, other than to get a nice day off. but it's all good.
Yes, yes. This is a wonderful time of the year. You know, this week often is like for people who like work at offices or whatever, people are like counting down. They're like at their office in their desk or their cubicle. They're like looking around like, okay, how many more hours until I'm done working for the rest of the year or the rest of the week or whatever your situation may be. So totally understandable. Same here, even though we'll be watching basketball on Christmas Day. A lot happening, David, in the NBA right now. Friday, in like a, I think it was Friday, all this news came down. The Cavaliers just seeming like a rash of injuries and to key players. Darius Garland and Evan Mobley will both be out for several weeks. And you know, this is a team that while record wise, they haven't been looking as strong as they have in past years, they still have a statistical profile, David, that suggests a decent team, right? Third in defensive rating, their offense has slipped, to 18th. They were about 15th, maybe a week ago. But they still have a good net rating and still, you know, are a good team with good players. But with Mobley and Garland being out, obviously that puts a ton more pressure on Donovan Mitchell, on Jared Allen. And, you know, we talk about this all the time with the NBA, like nothing's guaranteed. Just because you're doing well doesn't mean you're going to be doing well for the next 5 years. Right. Things just happen. Like, so what do you make of what's going on in Cleveland right now, specifically about the injuries? And then we can talk about the team.
I mean, that's just bad luck as much as anything. I won't say it's definitively bad luck. I do think that it matters who your head trainer is, so to speak, you know, physio, the guy in charge of healing and preventing injury. I think that really matters a lot. It doesn't mean you could have the best guy in the world and you're still going to have injuries. And I don't even know what happened to those guys. I didn't look to see what it was. But, I mean, you expect it. It's the NBA. It's the professional sports guys get hurt. College sports guys get hurt. High school guys get hurt. Girls get hurt. So other people get chances to do some things. Their roles can increase. It won't just be Donovan Mitchell. It'll be other guys too. They need to tread water.
Yeah.
Are they 14-12 right now?
14-12. Yep.
I mean, they've got a – this is – there's quicksand coming. They got to avoid that quicksand. There's plenty of teams nipping at their heels a little bit. Or separation from the other group. They need to, like I said, tread water, win half their games, and hang in there. How long are those guys out for?
I mean, it's just said several weeks, which to me, even if you look at it as 3 weeks, that's in minimum 3 weeks is what, 13, 14 games? That's a ton of games over that amount of time. So, I mean, you know, they're even when healthy, they were already kind of not at the level they were at last year. At least record-wise.
They played a really tough schedule. I did not look to see what the next 3 weeks look like. But it's hard to imagine they'll continue to play a top-five schedule the whole season. You're hoping that that's always the case. You got to try to take care of every single game as if it's the only game that matters. You got to strategize up, coach them up, and find ways to be more effective with guys missing. It always starts with defense because their offense is going to suffer. Their defense should suffer without Evan, but collectively you can kind of make up more defensively, I think, if you get guys to really buy in and do it, Donovan included. Doesn't mean they'll do it.
Yeah, they're currently ranked third in defense. And they are in that cluster of teams in the Eastern Conference that are all between 1 and 2.5 games out of the fourth place, which is currently occupied by the Orlando Magic. So that team, those teams include the Heat, the Knicks, the Pacers, talk about the Cavs, right? And they're just all kind of bunched up together there in that crowded East. And, you know, if, to your point, they can just kind of hold water a bit, and they're going to have to, and it's really going to be holding water because Garland and Mobley are so critical to what they do, right? Especially when Mitchell's off the floor, Garland's there, and your offense still can chug along, and he can do some great things. Now you're looking at Caris LeVert and, you know, other guys off the bench, and you do some more stuff to get threes for Max Strus and George Niang, right? Like, these are sort of the challenges that J.B. Bickerstaff kind of has to deal with right now. And Jared Allen, you know, is someone who had a disappointing playoffs last year, and maybe there might be some realizations of limitations to his game, right? What can they do with him to aid the loss of Mobley? Because, again, Mobley's so unique, of course, defensively, but he's starting to come into his own a little bit offensively. And, of course, I mentioned Garland's shot-making, which, you know, those guys are just what they are, right? You can't just create shot makers.
I mean, we know Donovan can go on some pretty spectacular heaters. That would help. I like that you mentioned Strus and Yang. That would make a difference too. Okoro is someone that's, you know, hanging in there. I could see him being a little bit frustrated with. I still think he has a chance to be a really good player, and I'm not sure they believe in him as much as they did when they first drafted him. But if it turns out that they end up being, you know, win a first round series, they didn't win last year. Mm-hmm. They could probably point to the opportunities that they took advantage of now. It's just easier said than done, but it's always possible. You know, there's always scripts written about this kind of stuff where we were faced with some adversity. We kind of figured some stuff out and we came better. We got better collectively for when our starters came back.
Yeah. You know, and this is interesting. It brings up something that, David, I always like to talk to you about because you're a coach. Now, on the NBA level, you coach these guys in terms of their skill development, not as a head coach, but you have been a head coach at basketball levels before. And it's not the NBA, but it's different. But how would you approach that, right? Because coaches, they're so focused on the day-to-day, right? Because although JB's got, I mean, as much job security as anyone can have, right? You go on a losing streak, your owner can be like, get out of here, we're going to fire you. So he doesn't want to go on a lengthy losing streak. But it would seem to me that giving Isaac Okoro some royal jelly and some of those other guys who may not be as good right now, give them some of that now to help them get better. It may result in the short term, you're going to lose. But to your point, this could help you when everybody gets back that now they have confidence come April. How do you balance that as a head coach, giving them enough royal jelly and knowing that we're probably going to lose anyway with the royal jelly, but I got to be comfortable in the losing and moving along and keep giving those guys what they need?
Well, you know, I do skill development off season. In season, I kind of coach that kind of stuff from behind the scenes. And I try to help the players play within the context that the head coach wants. I'm not someone that ever tells a player to do something. I shouldn't say ever, almost ever do something that your coach is, don't really want. The head coach not wanting it matters, but there isn't always a parallel between what head coach wants A to Z and what all the assistant coaches want A to Z. There's wiggle room there. So a team, one of my favorite things to do is watch a team play and watch how assistant coaches react to a certain shot. Mm-hmm. And these coaches wear their emotions on their sleeve. If a guy takes a shot, let's say a 14-footer in the paint, which I think is a great shot, but some coaches don't, and you make it, they ain't clapping. They ain't clapping the first time, the second time, the third time. They're not doing it. The head coach may or may not. I mean, the assistant coaches, they're just so dogged and obstinate about these kinds of things. But I do try to get players to play within the context of what the head coach and what the coaching staff wants. And you don't necessarily, it isn't necessarily black and white as you described it, where I'm giving them more opportunities, so we're probably still going to lose. Not necessarily. Not for some of the. I mean, Cleveland's a good team. Yeah. This is not a team. This is not the Pistons or the Spurs, who if they lose two starters, even worse. I'm running about Detroit this week, so I'm not trying to make a joke about them. But Cleveland's better. They're a good team, as you said. There's a way to sell. First of all, they have Donovan Mitchell. Okay, they have Jared Allen. Niang and Strus have won a bunch of games too. They both played for Philly and Miami last year. Mm-hmm. Niang with Utah before that. They won a lot of games. We got to find a way, guys. I mean, that's the speech you give. And so now we have to get analytical. How do we find a way? What do we need to do more? And who do we give more opportunities to? How long do I give them these opportunities? That's why head coaches are paid what they're paid. If they can handle that, they'll keep getting paid well. Because every team deals with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. Continuing on the injury bug, Bradley Beal. Boy, it seems like this team, David, they just can't get started. It would have been the second game that the big three would have played together. And Beal, within the first couple minutes of that game against the Knicks, I want to say, ankle just turned it and it sprained. He's now out for, 3 to 4 weeks. And this just keeps pushing back the timeline for when those three are going to be on the court together. And it adds length to the season, which gives more length of time that you have to put more pressure on Book and KD. And the question is, well, when are they going to get hurt, right? And it just seems to be, and this is what we talked about with this team, right? You're like, health is the major thing that's going to stop them from doing anything positive. And so far, that's been their Achilles heel.
It's really amazing. Think about the Wizards giving him the full extension and then leaving. They got fired, but he's gone. We kind of saw this coming. It's sad. The other thing to consider too is when he does get back, is there enough time? There might be, there might not be, for them to figure out. It shouldn't take that long. We're going to get to the Clippers in a minute. They figure things out pretty quickly. but Harden is more of a genius than the guards.
Oh, for sure.
I love Booker and Beal, but they're not Harden. They probably never will be. Beal definitely won't be. Booker probably won't be. He's a great, great player. Mm-hmm. KD, different story, but he's not the primary ball handler those guys are. So, and the organizers. So, yeah, there's some concern in how they figure it all out. And then also, without seeing them play a lot together, what else could they do at the trade deadline?
Right.
It's going to be more of a stab in the dark because they haven't seen, they have no data. Correct. I mean, how many minutes have you guys played together?
30, if that much.
I don't think it's that much, yeah.
Right. I mean, this is the, so, you mentioned before about the Cavaliers, this is what head coaches get paid to do. Well, this is why GMs get paid a ton of money, right? Because now James Jones has to go towards the trade deadline, the trade season opened last Friday.
Right.
He has to now figure out what decisions can I make without knowing what I actually have? Because he doesn't know what he actually has because he hasn't seen it.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
So,
nope.
You're making these guesses. Well, we assume that if we have, we'll be fine off. Okay, but you still don't know. And I still think that organizing point guard is still a problem for them. Book's been great, but we still haven't seen the three of them do it together for enough minutes. And to your point, there may not be enough time left in the season.
Probably will be. I just brought that up as a possibility. There probably will be because of the level of those three. That doesn't mean the other guys will all, find their place and all of that. But your point is right. The management is they're going to have to rely on their own eyes more so than data. It's not going to have the data. And that isn't always a good thing for NBA GMs.
Well, I was just going to say, and we know that, I mean, my God, not just in basketball, but there's a reason why, eyewitness testimony tends to be faulty in capital crime cases and things of that nature, right? When you're relying on eyes and then memory and the further away you get from something, all sorts of biases click in there and it may not be supported by the actual data. Like when we get back to basketball, your eyes may think, I mean, this guy's really good, but it's like, okay, but the data says he's just not, right? Like maybe that's you holding on to it because maybe you loved him in the draft 1 year and you didn't get him, but you're holding him close to you because you're like, no, but I wanted him. It's like, but yeah, I get that. But your data says, no, not good. It's tough. It's not an easy business to be good in. Really not.
Have you ever listened to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast regarding memory?
I have not, but I'm sure it's excellent.
I mean, it's staggering. Where the experiment was, some sociologist interviewed a bunch of people on like 9/12/2001. What did you do yesterday? Tell me about your day. Everything was videotaped and transcribed, and they brought him back a year later, Malcolm Gladwell included, and interviewed.
Yeah,
and they would tell their story and then he'd play them. I think it was a man doing the study, what they said the year before. And they're like, it would be different. Very different in some cases.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I was talking about. What I'm remembering now is right. He's like, well, this was the day after it happened. You're totally right. So we're not talking about just your memory of a player, whatever. We're trying to plug and play with the guys you currently have. And there's no data giving us where our holes are. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, yeah, bias. I'm glad you said it. Bias. This isn't a racial bias. Right, this is some other kinds of bias based on which racial bias affects how people remember things. But this is different, but there's still biases, good or bad, positive or negative. And it makes it harder. It's just, it's easy with data.
Right.
It's easier with data. So, and the reality is, we've seen this thing play in Brooklyn, in a sense, with three amazing offensive players.
Correct.
When they were together, great, but they're not together. And so, problems in Phoenix. Although they did a big win yesterday.
Let's be against the Wizards, who they were losing for three quarters. The Wizards, who were like the 20 something ranked offense. I mean, the Wizards are terrible.
Who smoked the Knicks?
The Clippers destroyed them. Second half of back to back. They beat Phoenix on Friday, and they went to LA and got blown out by the Clippers. We'll talk about the Clippers in a minute. The one thing James Jones and Frank Vogel do know is, and data supports this, their defense stinks. That they know. That is a factual statement. Their eyes and all the numbers tell them that. So I don't know what they can do to remedy that problem, but that's an area they can maybe address.
Beal's health wouldn't matter for that.
Correct.
Yeah, that is something I'm sure they're addressing regardless. Yeah.
No doubt. All right, David, the Clippers. Woo, man. I don't know. Maybe like a month ago, and I think it was when Harden had first joined the team, they did their, they had New York and Brooklyn back to back in the city, right? The Knicks and the Nets. And they got beat bad in both games. Harden was out at the club. Everybody's like, ha, ha, laughing. This team stinks. We knew this was going to be bad. Yada, yada, yada. Well, this is the NBA. Clippers, hottest team in the league. They won 7 straight, 8 of their last 10, 12 of their last 15. Woo! What is working so well for the Clippers right now? Besides the fact that of the 25 or 26 games they played, Kawhi Leonard is played in all of them.
I mean, that's the story. As much as to me, as much as anything. Yeah. Have you looked at his numbers? I don't think I wrote them down, but
He's ridiculous.
Like 60, 50 something, 95 something percentage wise from 2, 3 and free throw. Like they say 40, 50, 40, 90.
Right.
He's like 65, 55, 95. It's a joke.
Yeah.
And he plays all these games. What a surprise. Hey, when this guy is playing and he's healthy, all these games, you're probably going to win a lot of games. The fact that Paul George has kind of figured things out, James Harden. I think 4-1 assist to turnover ratio, 10-2.5, whatever.
Yes.
Making more catch and shoot threes. Zubac, I think he's played well. Terrence Mann's played well. Norm Powell is I have not looked to see 6 Man of the Year candidate lists, but I would guess
Norm Powell's up there.
I think so. Yeah, he's doing well. But that big three, just they're really talented players, and they play great together.
One of the things I noticed, David, is that with the arrival of Harden, Kawhi's assisted baskets have gone up.
Yeah.
I think he was assisted on 33% of his baskets last season. He's up to 55% of his baskets been assisted this year. And he and Harden play together almost exclusively. They're almost always on the court together at the same time. And what a surprise. Now, Harden may not be MVP level Harden anymore, but that dude is still an elite playmaker and just knows how to, you know, about organizing guys. He knows how to get a team into a right setup and get them balls and angles and spots where it's good for you, catch and shoot. We talked about passing a few episodes ago, how when the ball is not thrown correctly, you've got to kind of bend down to get it. And that just takes away time from your shooting motion. But Harden giving it to you right in your shooting pocket, all these little things that maybe your eye sees, but the average man's eye doesn't see, that's why they're better.
I quoted, I think, a friend of James Harden who told me that Harden said, I pass with love. My passes come with love attached to him, something like that. There's something about LeBron James and James Harden and the elite of the elite players who are also primary ball handlers. They are really cheat codes to winning. Jordan was the same way late in his career. He's talked about this. There is an understanding of the game that is really second to none. I said this a couple years ago, if you remember, we talked about this before. The preseason NBA TV visit to the Sixers.
The Sixers, yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's Doc Rivers coaching up James Harden. And I said on our show, everyone was loving, oh, look at Doc, this is coaching. And I said, no, I'd rather see James Harden talk and Doc Rivers listen. Right. This is a true genius. One of the guys how many games has James Harden won? We can criticize his postseason all you want.
Right.
But we're in December now. They ain't playoffs.
Right.
And this dude has won a huge amount of games.
A lot.
In the regular season. He knows how to win games. So does Kawhi. Mm-hmm. So does Paul. And so those three guys are figuring stuff out together. And I'm not surprised one bit. And I think Ty Lue is so pragmatic.
Yep.
That he's just allowed it to happen and not overcoach guys, which is pretty common. And they're in the eighth spot now, I think, but they're trending up.
They are currently right now, they are on the sixth spot, actually, 4.5 games, and they're only a game back of Denver, who's in four, and tied for third with the Mavericks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are three, so it's only a game and a half behind them, and they're in second place. So
I would not be surprised to see them pass all those teams.
I wouldn't be either. And here's something that's fascinating to me, David. They are eighth in defensive rating and only 14th in offense. We would assume the offense is going to get better.
Well, but Harden got there, a month ago or 6 weeks ago. So I wonder what they are in the last...
Since.
Yeah, no, like in the last 10, 12 games, last 10 games, 8-2, they're probably third in offense, something like that. Yeah. You're right about making a comment with the defense, though, for sure. That is, I would say 45-55% chance they're the number one seed in the West.
Ooh,
because look who's the number one seed.
Well, yes, it's a team that's never been there before. Right. Timberwolves.
Right. They're going to feel pressure. And they have
Oklahoma City Thunder, also a new team in second. They don't,
I'm just telling you, they're going to be a hard team to figure out. They really are. As long as they keep defending, especially.
Oh, absolutely. And the Mavericks, we have questions about them. He just wasn't on the rundown. I hate to give you quizzes, but have you seen Dante Exum?
I have.
What is going on? I mean, is this just like a hot month or has he figured something out?
Figured it out I think he played for Partizan last year. Okay. I think he played for Partizan. I wrote about him in the preseason. Yeah, he was always a talented player. He's not the same player he was as an athlete, but he knows how to play. He's nice. Yeah, he's nice. David, Detroit could have brought him over. Yeah, you bring
that team.
Yeah, you bring guys like that over. He knows how to win games now. He was on a great team, and I think they might have won the Final Four last year. He was I think they did. I think he was a good player on the team that won the Final Four. He's nice. Yeah, no, he's playing well without even the athlete he used to be.
Forget about the fact that I think he's gonna continue the high 40s shooting from three. But David, if he's a 38% three-point shooter. Oh my God!
They lead the league. They lead the league in threes attempted. At least the last, I think I checked the last dozen or so games. But they're low on 3-point shooting. He's one of the better ones. Yeah, that's a nice find for them. Yeah,
because they got Kyrie out right now, and him doing that, this could be some nice found money for her.
And Lively is
yes,
he's going to be on the All Rookie team.
For sure.
Very good defensive player. Makes plays at the rim, which is all he can do right now. Luka is just a ridiculous lob passer. We've talked about this all season. They've got some work cut out for him, but he's doing well.
No, yeah, they're surprising me. And I think it's just the rest of that roster where you're looking around like, how can they do it? Okay, so with the Clippers, your big thought is if they can stay healthy, this is certainly sustainable what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's always healthy. Norm Powell is so important for them, that bench scoring. I don't think James will get selfish. He did last year. He showed what he can do. Like, I don't know this, but I would not be surprised in James Harden's mind if he's saying to Kawhi, bro, I'm going to get you the MVP. You're going to get the MVP this year, but I'm going to help you do it. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a hell of a thing for James's legacy, is to be, in a sense, the second best player on two different MVPs, two different teams 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like that's how James, guys like James might think. Not definitely. I will check into it. We have mutual friends. Nice. But it wouldn't surprise me if James is just blowing smoke to Kawhi, like, hey, bro, I got you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're going to keep cooking, and I'm going to keep throwing it to you. Show these people what you got, right?
Well, listen, I wouldn't
be surprised.
Kawhi is someone, and I know, everyone loves, we love to do the whole thing where it's like, oh, we don't know how good this guy is, whatever. It's like, hey, man, when we've seen this dude play healthy, he's been the best player in the playoffs multiple times. 100%. Multiple times.
RoboCop. Like,
yes, Robo this guy Hooper. Is so good.
Yeah.
He just had to be healthy, and I think we're seeing it now.
I mean, it's interesting. He's, like you said, he played all these games.
He's played every game.
Good minutes. Has he played every game?
Every game. He's played he's not missed a game yet.
Wow.
Played every game. And something worth noting, Kawhi has a player option next year. So the thought process here on his side could be, I'm going to opt out and be a free agent at the end of this year. But in order for me to do that and get the money that I need, I've got to remind people, oh, by the way, yeah, when healthy, I'm this dude. And I think that could be a thing because he's playing all NBA level and all that right now. So
MVP level player right now.
Yeah, he really is. The other thing I'll say about the Clippers, David, moving Westbrook to the bench, which we all knew they had to do, it kind of helps them a bit because they sort of play two styles, right? When Harden's the guy on the floor, it's a little more methodical, surgical. Russ, even though he still has poor finishing at the rim, is still very quick and explosive and can get downhill and gets them playing a little bit faster. So it's a nice kind of like change up when he comes on the floor with those guys. And I think that's helping them with their second units too.
I'm glad you mentioned him because, yeah, you've got both him and Powell as your second unit guard scoring. I don't know what they're averaging off the bench, but it's probably over 20 combined. It's a lot of points every night from just those two guys alone. And Russ is a good creator. He doesn't love the pass all the time. He'll pass when he has to, not necessarily when he's supposed to, but he still gets people buckets. I'm telling you, he's still really good at driving, kicking, a little dish. He's still good at that.
Yeah. The driving kick game. Very, very, very big. So yeah, look at the Clippers guys. You heard it here from David. He's like, he would not be surprised if they pass all those teams and move themselves to the top of the Western Conference. All right, guys, we'll be back after a brief commercial break. Okay, David, I started the show talking about, the standings don't really move all that much past a certain point in the NBA. In these conversations we have with Henry, we talked about that great discussion we had with Ben, and I hope everybody who's a true subscriber got to read that awesome article about, the league getting better. And one of the things Henry said in the past is the NBA is a very predictable kind of league, right? In the sense that we play best out of seven in the playoffs. Like, so it's very rare that the best team, it's hard to beat the best team four times out of seven if you're not equally good, right? We just know what's going to happen versus a single elimination tournament where, I don't know, anything can happen. That had me thinking about teams in the playoffs and all those teams I mentioned in the East that are clustered together that maybe this is your year. Things break right for you. What can you do to get someone that is a difference maker? Same thing in the West. So I told David, I put a bunch of teams out there. What does this team need to move up to that level? And can they get it? I was on a show, David, on Saturday, a local show in New York here at the New York Post Studios talking about the Knicks and the Nets. And Knick fans, that's their whole thing. Trade, we got to get a superstar. That's just how they're... But I'm like, guys, one, who is he? Tell me what the player's name is. And then, what are you going to give up to get him that the other team has value in that will not also deplete you and make you no longer a championship team, right? It's fun to get the idea of, I want a superstar here. But if you have to give up everything you have to get them and you're back to where you are, square one, not a championship contender, what is the point? Maybe there's another way you can get better.
Well, there's a who and a how. Who do you want? How are you supposed to get them? Who are the Knicks? Who's that valuable? Even if there was someone available, who's that valuable on their team? Jalen Brunson's a hell of an offensive player, but you're not going to trade him.
Correct.
That's for sure.
Right.
Julius Randle doesn't quite have that sexiness vibe to these other guys. Julius Randle.
Yes, but he doesn't. He certainly does not. Mitchell Robinson, your best is art, so you can't trade him now. Your young guys? I mean, you guys may like your young guys. Do other teams value your young guys the way you do?
But to the level of giving up a superstar? No.
Correct.
No, in fact, when you sent me a list of teams, they're the one team. Right. I don't know if there's anything they can do. They can rebound better.
And Mitchell being hurt and being out is hurting them right now, rebounding wise.
Such a good defensive player.
Yes, yeah. He's a very good defensive player.
And I love Hardenstein. I love him.
Oh, he's very, very good.
I loved him when he was nothing in the Clippers G League team. Like, how was this guy in the G League? Like, he's so good. He's a really good player.
We're going to get to the G League in a little bit because David's got some thoughts about teams and utilizing the G League. Yeah. But the Miami Heat, David, half-court offense maybe is something they need to look at again. What do you think the Miami Heat need?
I've always thought they need a point guard. Kyle Lowry's doing okay. He knows how to win games for sure. He does play very hard. He still takes charges. He's got a lot of grit to him. He's super smart. I'd like to see them play with pace a little more often, and I don't think he can do that. They don't really have anyone that can blow by your guy like Westbrook can and give you a little dish. So it's not easy. They don't get a lot of easy shots. They have to run their offense more than a lot of teams do because there's not a lot of great one-on-one play. Tyler Herro being out doesn't help, although people argue maybe it does because he's a little more selfish than some of these other guys. So I'd like to see if they could find a guard that can beat people off the dribble. I don't know who it would be, but also Miami, who am I to tell them what to do? Eric Spoelstra. Their band's been out for a while.
Right.
And that has not helped. They had a huge win against Chicago. They almost got swept. Jimmy Butler hit a shot at the buzzer. The guys went crazy. They're treading water without him, without Herro and Bam. They're missing two guys. So I don't know if Bam's back today or not. They play tonight. I don't know if he's back.
Yeah, they play tonight.
Yeah, I think there's a few teams that I looked at that they could use a point guard.
But a point guard, I want to be clear, a point guard that can get by his man off the bounce.
I think Kyle Lowry is better as a backup. By the way, I don't know if they can get one or not. Jaime Jaquez has not had a great rookie season. If you look at metrics, people are very high on him. I like him too. Mm-hmm. He doesn't show up necessarily on the metrics, but he's just a rookie. But he's pretty skilled. He doesn't know how to win games yet. You can be skilled. You can know how to play to some degree, but knowing how to win is different. He doesn't have that cheat code. How could he? He just started. But I like Orlando Robinson, a young big. You're starting for them in place of Bam. Mm-hmm. So they've got some options. I think that's why they're starting him, actually, is to maybe entice the team to pull a trigger on a young big, and maybe Miami gets an upgrade for a more veteran player that helped right away. They've got some interesting this kid Jamal Cain's an interesting G leaguer, two-wayer that has played some. Duncan Robinson's really improved.
He has.
As a playmaker. Mm-hmm. So, I still think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs if they're healthy.
For sure. A player that seems so heaty, is that the word heaty? Heat-esque to me, but he doesn't help that off the bounce beat your primary guy, but he's a heat player.
Yeah.
Is Alex Caruso, right? Like, he fits into the heat, I think, so well.
Everyone needs Alex Caruso. You're right about Miami, but everyone needs a 3-point shooting defensive demon.
That's what he is. He's a 3-point shooting defensive demon.
Yeah, yes. He's amazing.
Perfect description of him.
Fan. Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. All right, we just talked about the Knicks. You talked about this, and when I watched them play the last few games, David, it's just so hard for them to score points. The Phoenix game notwithstanding, because Phoenix doesn't guard anybody. But every other game that I watch them, the way they score is just such a grind. They got to get, first of all, they play slow, number one, which I don't love. And they don't shoot enough threes. And so we saw that when they play Indiana, that becomes a math problem. Like, you're not going to beat another team killing you from three with twos and individual Jalen Brunson step back mid-rangers. Like, it's just hard sledding. And if it's this hard now to score, how much harder is it going to be in the postseason to score?
Well, there's another argument, which is when the game, it doesn't necessarily slow down a lot, but teams know what you're doing better. Everyone knows what they're doing now. And they find they're still a good offensive team. What are they ranked in offense right now?
I want to say top 10.
I thought they were 10 or 11.
Knicks, they are eighth in offense.
They've kind of got an edge on that. It's defensively is where without Mitchell, they struggle some. I mean, you're not wrong about their struggle in offense. It's a grind. But they're kind of built for the grind.
Yeah. It's amazing. Tibbs loves it. Rocks fight. Rock fights.
Right. It's amazing how long that coach has lasted there. There's something to be said, though, for that team. The franchise, in terms of not just loyalty, but just trusting our process of how we go about our business, they are a respectable franchise.
Without question,
that was not the case for a long time. They are if I have a player and New York was interested in them, I would not think, oh no, not at all. I'd say, what? Let's look into that because this is what I do say.
This is a Knicks team. That the last 5 years, they've only made the playoffs twice in the past 5 years. But if you want to be on the positive side, two of the last three, they made the playoffs. Yep. So they're trending in the right direction.
And got a round one win last year.
Jalen Brunson, a very good player. What bothers me about the Knicks is the player development piece of it. Now, Robinson has developed well for them.
And RJ's done okay.
And RJ's been okay.
I thought he had made some real progress this year. Compared to last year, which was not as good a year. Yeah, he's still got a ways to go. I'm looking now. Yeah. His shooting is really
that's the thing.
And he's not finishing at the rim at all.
No.
Yeah. He's just kind of flatlined a little bit, but he's better than he was last year. Last year was really bad. This is his best season EPM wise.
Yes, no,
but
it is.
Not
for sure.
He's not a big difference maker. He's certainly not worthy of where he was drafted compared to some other players drafted at
that and spot over the years. The extension that he gets, that he got, right? Yeah. So
he's overpaid.
That's the problem, right? He's not delivering you the wins appropriate with someone who gets paid, compensated.
Which is why you can't trade him for a better player because nobody wants him.
And this gets us back to the point to David Sykes, like, who are they going to trade? They can trade nobody that's going to bring in anyone of consequence. Right. So that means internally, right? That's how they get better, is by everyone there getting a little bit better. How do you work on, by the way, David? It's easier in the summertime because you have no games. How do you work on improving your game when there's games going on?
Oh, I do this all the time. So to me, it's all about getting, so I'll give an example. So it's all about reps. So I'll see a player take a particular shot that actually he might miss it. Doesn't even matter if he makes it or misses it. But the one that I haven't seen before, the defense forced him to take a certain kind of shot that I think it looks like, oh, he can make this more. But I've never seen him shoot it. I've watched every shot the player's taken. So I'll say, you got to start repping that 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 shots a day, every single day you're in a gym on that exact kind of shot, that kind of finish. Handle all the time. I literally have told players, get more handle at halftime of games. I'm not kidding. Every dribble matters. If you do it with intensity, with purpose. Pass fakes. I'm helping a player now, a young player, who's really gifted at going left and kind of throwing a pass like across his body. So he's going left, and they'll throw it this way, right hand lead. And I think that's a recipe for some more deflections and steals, but that, as opposed to just throw with the left hand directly. So I've asked him to start doing more left-hand passes. That's easy to do. Just throw a bunch of left-hand passes. Get a partner, get a coach, get a manager, just do it. It's a long season. It's a mistake to think you can't work on these things in the offseason. I have this recruiting business I think I've told you guys about, where I'm helping players get better in high school so they can earn scholarships or whatever. Yep. We got a new client yesterday. I did my first phone call. I left a voice message, actually. I'll speak to him this week. He's 16 years old. And initially, they get me right now. So same, I'm talking to the world's best players. I'm talking to kid off the bench. Yeah. He's got some talent, though. And so the message I left him yesterday is, you're a guard. Oh, I sent you the video I sent you.
Yes, you did.
The player. You see how slow that was? You see Max?
Yes, it was.
I didn't even find the video. My partner found that video where you see how fast Max was dribbling.
Mm-hmm.
This kid, of course, he's a year younger than Max was at the time of that video. His trainer is real slow. You got to go. I showed it to my wife, the client we have, and my wife doesn't follow basketball this way. She's on her phone when even Max is playing now, because he doesn't get in the games very much. So I said, what do you see? She said this. First thing she said is, he's kind of soft looking. I said, well, he's not bad or anything. She said, but everything's just so slow and no intensity. And then I showed her Max, like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. I said, you're right, honey. I give her a high five. You can do that all the time. All the time. You walk in a gym, 10 minutes of handle every day, no matter what, if you're in a gym. Left hand finishes, adding fakes. A couple players this year that just were not faking early in the season. And I sent them a bunch of video of them getting blocked or missing the shot because they had no angle. And I sent a video of themselves or other players in the same exact situation using one fake, two fake. And it just opens up the game. It slows you down. The defense can jump and you take advantage of it. But you don't have to wait for the offseason for that. No, you can wait for the offseason to make major changes in your shot.
Right.
Or major changes in the profile of your shots. In other words, you don't have the green light to take these shots now. But all summer, especially if you're young and you do it in your scrimmages, in summer league and in summer league. And then maybe you'll have earned the trust of your coaches to start doing this more. It's one of the ironies of the G League, which we'll talk about a little later. Most of these guys are playing in the G League a game that they won't be allowed to play. It's no sense. The NBA keep pulling up guys because they're scoring a bunch. But I'm helping a player now who's a high-level scorer. But if he ends up, when he gets called up to the varsity, which he does.
He won't be able to score like that.
No, he's got to be a corner shooter, play defense.
It's
the name of the game right now. It doesn't make sense, but it's the way it is. Some teams are better at recognizing, hey, score more in the G League to help us win, and we want you to build your game. You're young, but when you come to us, you're going to be like our version of Bruce Bowen, so to speak. The guy that kind of invented the 3-and-D wing. So, there's no bad time to say, I can't do anything except for your shooting mechanics. Then you got to keep it pretty simple. Because you can really fuck with their confidence if you do too much.
So someone like RJ who struggles at the rim, I imagine if you were working with them, RJ, why aren't we working on first box, second box?
Right? So like, I would look at shot selection. Are you taking bad first box shots? It's a great question you're asking me. Is there a crowd there? And are the crowd charge takers or 7-footers? Those are bad guys. You're not going to win those gunfights too often. And RJ is not a great jumper. Are you exploding? I watched a player recently, a veteran player, who played on his tippy toes all the time. He wasn't exploding up, and I showed it to him. And I said, you're not putting enough arc on your shots to begin with, and you're not exploding when you can enough. And so RJ is not explosive, but he's not a stiff. He can jump. Is it left-hand problems, right-hand problems? I don't know. I've not broken his game down. All those things absolutely should dive into. And you have a baseline. Here's what you're doing now at the rim. Bad. Yeah. Whatever the percentage is. We know that now. We can look it up. And so let's start setting a goal of finishing. Make him mindful of his problems and visualize solutions, see solutions, see him in clips where he's made those kind of shots before. Here's other players kind of built like you, your athleticism, length, size. Here's how they're finishing. Are you faking enough? Are you decelerating? Mm. Are you accelerating when you should? All these, there's a lot of variables. I always say I'm not a very smart guy. I'm not. But when it comes to basketball, I'm not dumb. I've been doing this a long damn time. I'd be mentally challenged if I couldn't figure some stuff out. I've been doing this a long damn time. And you trial and error, Gerard. I didn't know nearly as much 10 years ago as I do now. Because I'm watching games all the time and I'm learning from these genius players and my own eyes. And it's not easy. And you can be overwhelmed. Yeah. I'm writing with the Pistons right now because I think they're overwhelmed. Mm. You'll see what I write. We got to narrow it down here, guys, and find a way to win more possessions and just get a win. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, on Thursday. But these players, RJ should be better. He's a big, he can play bully ball.
Huge.
Big dude, long, strong. You got to finish better, my guy. Yeah.
52% at the rim.
Yeah. That's really bad.
That's piss poor. It's 8th percentile.
What, 8th? Like I'll say bottom.
Yeah, bottom league. Yeah. It's just not good.
No, not for that guy. No, he should be killing it.
All right, David. Indiana Pacers, one of the more exciting teams in the league. They had their great run through the in-season tournament. Number one pace in the league. League's number two offense right now, but hovers around 2-1 behind Boston. That defense is atrocious. 30th last. So for sure, they need to get some better defensive plays on there. Well, they have one really good one in Andrew Nembhard and some others, right? Is it about them just getting more PT?
Well, they were out. Nembhard's been out. Nesmith got hurt. Yeah, Nembhard, I think he's back Wednesday or maybe Friday. I don't remember. Something this week. So they need defenders. You already said it. And so we just talked about a team that needs defenders also and doesn't really have much leeway, which is the Knicks. But the Pacers have some assets if they wanted to move. I'm not saying they should. In fact, I don't think they should really.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they won't. But they also could change their strategy some too. We're not helping as much this year is not working out. But I don't think they care. I think they feel like, and I really like this as a philosophy, if when we're in a position to contend, which won't be this year, IST notwithstanding, that's one and done situations,
right?
We're going to be able to play this kind of defense much better. So we're practicing it now.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's their philosophy. If it was, I'd applaud that. I really would. We got to get better. We got to find guys. That's the other thing, is we're giving you guys all season to prove you can guard your yard, as they call it, better. If not, we're going to find someone else that can, because this is how we're going to play when we win a championship or contend for a championship. So it's a trying out period, you know, for all these guys. But the bottom line is their offense is scintillating. They're very, very bad defensively. And it comes from strategy and it comes from a lack of the individual players themselves to play it.
So on the Pacers, from a valuable standpoint, of course, is TJ McConnell. There's Nembhard. Who are the other valuable pieces that you
TJ, Buddy Hield, Andrew Nembhard, Isaiah Jackson. Mm-hmm. Listen, they could probably trade Bruce Brown in a heartbeat.
That's right.
I like Bruce Brown. They overpaid him, but I'm okay with that. They needed to pay somebody, but I mean, he'd be really good on some teams. Yeah, teams that are struggling in offense, and he's been a champion. So I'm not suggesting they trade him at all, but he probably has real value. They've got a lot of. I mean, Jairus Walker is super talented. If Giannis ends up never scoring more than 64, is that the number he got the other day? He owes a part of the basketball. He's upset that he doesn't think he got the real one. Part of it to Jairus Walker, who kept fouling him when they, and you know, we didn't talk about this on Thursday, but they put him back in.
Yeah.
To get the record.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that.
I guess a guy that, never really played in the NBA before. He's in the G League. I feel like that's kind of hollow. I don't remember saying that, but I didn't love that.
I agree.
Yeah. I got no sympathy for any of that stuff. But he's got value. Again, I'm not suggesting to trade any of these guys, but I think they've got to just continue to challenge guys and bench them when they're not accountable, when they're not executing the plan. It's one thing to make a mistake in a game, and then make a mistake again when it keeps happening a week, 2 weeks, a month in the season, and now we're almost 2 months in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something else to get them to feel the pain of messing up.
Yeah. No, I love where you're at with that. All right. Those were our East teams that I was looking at, and I think you're right. I think just staying where all three, like, first of all, the Knicks have nothing of value that anybody wants, so you guys got to get better internally.
Well, not nothing. Get equal pieces.
Right. Yeah. The Pacers, young, you guys can, and you're not going to contend this year likely anyway, unless you get an all NBA guy, which I don't know how they probably can't do that. Right. So keep developing from within. We go to the West now. The Timberwolves are interesting, David, because they've gone to the playoffs now. This is their third straight year in the playoffs, assuming they make it again this year. Defense is elite.
Number one.
Offense, not so great. 18th, I want to say it's ranked right now. Anthony Edwards is awesome, but they've got some sort of clunkiness in their offense. What do they need? Can they get it?
I have been saying all season and before the season that I'd like to see another point guard and let Conley come off the bench. I think their bench is not very good. I haven't looked to see their bench scoring, but I don't think it's very good.
Okay.
And Conley's playing really well, but he's 36, I believe.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him come off the bench. And I said this from week one, Tyus Jones.
Tyus
Jones. I don't care that he's from Minnesota. It doesn't hurt that he is. He won't be on. He won't. I mean, now he'll be thrilled. He went from Memphis, two seed, 2 years in a row, to the Wizards, 48 seed. Yeah. And now I get to go play for the number one seed in my home. I don't know if he's from Minneapolis, but he's from Minnesota. Yeah, you're not going to get Chet Holmgren also from Minnesota. You're not going to get Jalen Suggs from Minnesota. That's three pretty good players. But they could go get that guy. And now Conley comes off the bench. And if you want, Tyus is your one. Conley's your two, vice versa. They did the same thing with Ja and Tyus to real good success at times. AE is your three. McDaniels is your four. Play whatever five you want, Rudy or...
Right. Or Cat.
Yeah. Right now, their best bench player is Naz Reid. He's amazing. I love Naz Reid. I think Conley helps settle them. And if he's just better than Jones, well, then just play Jones more, even if he's coming off the bench. So Conley has something. Remember, we're talking about playoff run here.
Right.
He's 36. Right. You don't want to wear him down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to. He's been worn down before. He wore down the year the Jazz for the first seed. He was not himself late in the season, in the postseason. And so I think they should go after a point guard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so many teams are going to be going after point guards, right? I mean, that's – we mentioned Caruso, T.J. McConnell's a good one, Tyus Jones. There's a lot of good guys that can help people.
T.J. also would help their second unit if they want to keep starting Mike. He's also not a young guy, which is fine. Yeah, you're trying to win games, and there is a real chance for them to win the West.
Yeah, oh, for sure. With that defense, number one defense right now. OKC, another team, David, that's just really good, and we talk about them a lot because they have – all the tradable things that you would want. You know, SGA, even, look, we haven't seen documented history of SGA doing deep playoff runs, right? We only seen him with the Clippers that one time. We haven't, and
he was a
with OKC with Chris Paul in that 1 year, but that's really it, right? So we have to see him in the postseason do it too. So we don't know about Chet. Chet's a rookie, playing awesome right now, but still a rookie. What do they need to potentially solidify that top two spot and then really kind of, you know, go after it in the playoffs?
I mean, it's not easy because they're so good right now. The one thing I thought of is a focal point of the offense where you can just throw it to the guy that isn't Shea and get a good shot, whether he gets it. I mean, obviously not every time. someone that's a threat to be fouled because he's a high-level, all-star level player. He's able to create when you bring help, happily, joyfully pass the ball, and one-on-one is going to score a bunch, especially at the rim, because Chet's dragging out the other five.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Raptors don't extend Siakam, I've been saying that for a month. I have no idea. I know Pascal. I have never once asked him, would he want to play at OKC?
Right.
He's in a contract here. No clue how his group feels. I know those guys. No idea. I don't talk to them about that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you, as an analyst, both the Pacers, who I know, because we've read about it, that I didn't know this, but I've read that the Pacers love Pascal.
Who doesn't?
Right. And he's starting to shoot the three better. He had a really bad start, really bad, like the worst in the league. He's much better lately. We'll see if it holds up. But he's most effective with a shooting five because he's really a post player who can just dribble the ball.
Yep.
Like Giannis.
Yeah.
Look who Giannis plays with.
Correct.
So I would put Pascal with someone like Brook Lopez. So Chet Holmgren. Man. Chet Holmgren's a perfect fit for him. And very comfortable winning a championship as the second best player. He already did.
I like it.
So I really like him. I have no idea again. No clue. But well, someone that can be a focal point because everything is drive kick, Shay, play off it, great. Chet spreads it out, great. That's going to clam up a little bit in the postseason. Guys are not going to be guarded because a lot of those guys aren't really on shooting great. They're not going to be guarded. The driving lanes are going to be dried up a little bit, clogged in the postseason. Siakam solves a lot of those problems for them. And so I haven't looked to see some other guys too. I'm sure could do something similar. And then you have the dynamic duo of that person and Shay with Chet dragging the five out because they're such a great dribble drive team.
Yeah. The only number of challenges though is that if you're OKC and you're giving up anything of value to trade for Pascal, you're going to want to hope that you can ink him to an extension.
Which
right?
is why I have not talked to anyone because I will be shocked if the Raptors don't extend. It's a shock to me. They only have much time left.
Yeah.
If they want to have his rights when it comes time to the free agency, but you got to, who's not retaining assets, especially someone who's playing at the level now that he's playing, it makes no sense to me. That being said, yes, you're right. You would have to have an agreement ahead of time, which happens all the time.
Of course. Yeah.
Which would be no problem. Either the Pacers too. Same thing.
Yeah. Same idea. Yeah. The other person we talked about this maybe a year ago when we were like, wow, OKC has all the chips to make a move. He's playing well in Minnesota right now, and I doubt they'll move him, but Cat, I think, would be great for them too. But I think he's probably doing well in Minnesota right now. Minnesota's like, don't know that we want to screw up.
Well,
we got going.
Yeah, I don't know that they want to go because they like to dribble drive so much. I don't know if they want to go with two. See, Siakam's a guard.
So right.
Cat's a big with Chet there. I think that Sam's got a long list of players that I think knows, okay, this is a paint. They score a lot in the paint off drives. Mm-hmm. But this guy can post, seal, roll, all of it. And again, that five's ability to spread the floor really matters. But the Cat thing is interesting only because Naz Reid's playing so well.
Yeah.
The Wolves, I wrote about him already before. The Wolves can look to trade Cat because of what Naz is doing.
Yeah. And they could get some good stuff back in return because Cat's playing very well.
High level player for sure.
All right. The last team I want to look at, David, the Mavericks. You talked about Dante Exum to start. Luka, of course, is insane and just playing elite offensive basketball.
Bad defense, though.
No, yes, very, very bad on defense. So they need some defenders. But also, the idea of Luka doing what he's doing now all throughout the playoffs, that's the James Harden recipe, right? You're going to wear down, and you can't do that through four rounds. You have to beat all the best teams with you dominating every single possession. It just won't work. We've seen it. So some help, right? Like, and they have Kyrie, so he'll be able to help do some of that. But what else does the Mavericks need?
Their front court is Grant Williams and rookie Derek Lively.
There we go.
Massey Kleber is out. He's played like five games. Dwight Powell, I think he's been hurt. He's not playing very much. Rashawn Holmes doesn't get off the bench. Jones Jr., Derek Jones starts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Timmy Hardaway's done pretty well. I think they need front court help. I think they've got, their starters are fine. They shoot a lot of threes. I think they need some depth in their front court and then let Luka carry the day. Omax Prosper is just a rookie, doesn't play very much. You can't count on him this season. Lively is doing great as a rookie. He's still a rookie. I think this year, if they can make the playoff, they should consider it a good season for them. Then they'll decide if they want to stay with Kyrie, move him. If he plays well to make the playoffs, he'll have value.
Right.
And then build around. I think they really like Lively. I think Prosper fits in very good. Jaden Hardy's been a big disappointment to me. Very talented scorer, very talented, but he's not getting better as a basketball player. That's a concern to me. So yeah, get some front court help, make the playoffs, which should happen this year.
Yep.
And then decide how you want to build around Luka going forward.
Okay. David, a bit of sad news. Well, not too terribly sad, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fell at a concert over the weekend and broke his hip. I think he had surgery already at UCLA, if I'm not mistaken, according to his spokesperson. You know, we've sung Kareem's praises on this podcast a million times. I mean, you could argue the greatest basketball career in the history
of the game. You've argued
that. I have. I certainly have. And I mean, the accolades back me up. there isn't a whole lot more you can say
there's
about
no
that.
Holes. There's no holes.
He is just, you know, he's an incredible, incredible player. Even better human being, if that's possible, in terms of the way his mind works and what he thinks about the world and its larger issues. And, you know, if anybody knows anything about hips, how vital they are and how the older you get, that's just problematic for old people. Like, you just
how old is he?
77?
Yeah, I say close to 80. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, it's tough.
You're hoping, this is sad, superstars, celebrities, they tend to get better health care. And so, we wish every American. Normally, breaking a hip is a death tell. Yeah, you're going to be gone soon. He also is not your typical 77-year-old, not just because he's so tall. Former professional athlete, looked like he stays in. So he was in yoga. He was doing yoga in his 20s, I think, or 30s. He gets any doctor he wants, that kind of thing. Let's definitely hope because, I mean, really, think about guys like him and Bill Russell. As, you know, giants of the game who were even bigger off the court.
Yeah.
Very, like, LeBron's done a lot for people, but not in the philosophical realm. And I'm not criticizing him one bit. Guys like, I don't know who we have. Like, Ali, this is my generation, right? They're older than me, but I was impressionable when they were in their prime. Ali, not Russell. He was already done when I was growing up. Some Kareem, Russell, Ali were... the philosophers, brilliant, thoughtful men who helped change the world and certainly our country.
Sure did.
We could use more of that, I feel. I feel like they'd be more outspoken. The way the NBA reacted during the George Floyd situation, I think they'd have reacted to a lot more terrible things happening in this country.
For sure.
Kareem was one of those guys. Yeah. Jim Brown, and those kind of guys. Yeah, Jim's gone.
And I mean, you know, the environment produced that, right? Created that in them, right? Because think about when those guys were coming up, right? 50s, 60s, 70s. Like, this is, I mean, but not that America's that much better now.
But we were better.
Right.
Not, we weren't best. Better.
The best.
Better. And we're, by design, they want us to move backwards. They want to get back to those days. We need Kareem to make this through this.
For
and
sure.
Continue to speak out. And we need leaders in celebrity and sports to be loud about it.
Absolutely. So get well soon, Cap.
Please.
Okay, David, the NBA G League Showcase is coming up in Orlando tomorrow and Wednesday. I mean, the G League is always such an interesting, the G League Showcase is always interesting because I know it's an area, not just there, you talk about internationally as well, where there is so much basketball talent waiting to be mined, harvested, and given tons of royal jelly that could help teams win now. But most NBA teams are just, historically anyway, have been bad at using this. You know, of course, Miami and its outliers, of course. But as a whole, the league just hasn't been great. But it's coming up. What are you excited about? What do you hope some NBA teams are doing? Besides, yes, everyone's going to have a representative down there watching stuff. But what are they actually doing?
I'm not going to go to the games. I'll go. I have a number of I've coaches that I mentor that are coaching or I'm friendly with. I've got players that I help or talk to. So I won't go to the games because every executive will be there. I like to operate behind the scenes, as you know. But I'll hang out with some of my guys and some of my friends and have some meals when I can. It's an easy drive. And, well, it's not an easy drive. it should be an easy drive. If there's one road here that it isn't going great, it's traffic's always bad, and our last governor ixnayed the train we voted in.
Oh,
Floridians voted in a train from Tampa to, I would be able to drive to Tampa, leave my car, Uber there, take a train, read, get on the phone, whatever. I don't know what you do in trains. I've only been on one.
I don't know what you do. Brooklyn
to New York to Philly. That was great.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You all do your work. Yeah.
Got there so fast. Yeah. I would love it. So instead, I have to drive. It should be an hour and a half. It could be up to 3 hours with traffic and everything. Nightmare. The talent, I watched the G League game yesterday at 4. The talent's so overwhelming. So many shot makers, so much passing and athleticism. They just don't think the game. They're young. They're very young. That's why I'm saying we talked about an in-season tournament that allowed G League teams and NBA teams. These teams are just, they're so talented. They're so young. They will get scorched by NBA teams because they can't think. But they have talent. They can get there and will get there. Lots of NBA players live in the G League now.
Yep.
And they should be asked to do more, think more, read the game more. But they all think they have to go score to get the call up. And it's hard to watch that way. But the talent is significant. So if anyone, I mean, it's the end of the showcase. After this, they go back to what they call the regular season. There's eight teams, I think, that have qualified for like a playoff. And the other teams just play a couple games to be seen. So games are going on all day. Like the first game, early, maybe 11 o'clock tomorrow, 1 o'clock tomorrow. It's early.
Okay.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. Games all the time. At the Orlando, I think it's Orange County Civic Center, which is Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good place to find talent.
I'll be watching games all day tomorrow.
It's interesting because Henry talks about this all the time, right? And we value scoring so much that it can cloud your judgment, right? Like, and we see it all the time. Teams overpay for the person that scores 20 points a game off the bench. And it's like, that's important. Don't get me wrong. Teams need that. But does it help you ultimately within your team construct of winning possessions?
These advanced metrics account for that. That's where PER didn't. My buddy John Hollinger's, I love the PER, but it doesn't tell the same story as these new metrics, which factor, he couldn't do it. They didn't have the metrics to it. The data wasn't available from the new defense, just box score data. With what we have now, we know defense really matters too.
Yeah, it's huge. Half the game.
Half the game.
All right, guys. We'll be back on Thursday. Take care.